You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In the vast blue above Mexico on June 21st, 1976, a student pilot named Rafael Pacheco Perez embarked on what should have been a brief flight from Mexico City to Chimalhuacan. But soon after takeoff, he vanished from radar, only to reappear mysteriously over Acapulco, a feat impossible in the given time and aircraft specifications. Then came the chilling twist. His voice crackled over the radio, not in his own words, but as a conduit for alien entities declaring, "We are using him as if he were a microphone." The transmission continued with bizarre assurances. These beings were like us, from the same universe, watching humanity with a cosmic concern. His memory wiped clean, his career ended suddenly, and to this day, authorities remain baffled by the full story. This case file, join the theorists as we climb into the cockpit and tune into the alien airwaves with the Rafael Pacheco Perez E.T. Encounter.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 364. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm an Andrew.
Arriba!
Dude, one of the, you know, so much shit's been happening in the news with aliens this last couple weeks. I mean, aliens and paranormal. Like, one of the craziest things to me is, out of the blue, shitty comedian Matt Rife is like, "Yo, I've bought everything Ed and Lorraine."
The guy's great at crowd work, all right?
Yeah.
And dude, his new crowd work is going to be good. Mums every show.
He's going to have a fucking haunted chest. Then he's going to be the haunted carrot top as he's pulling out the fucking Annabelle doll at his new act.
He's going to have to do something because soon he's not going to be the handsome guy that can fucking do good crowd work. You're going to have to
start losing his hair. He's going to get a couple wrinkles.
Maybe years are gonna fall off. You see that guy's snaggle teeth he used to have?
Dude, he was ugly. Dude, he's gonna be one of those guys, like he's in the peak right now, but he's gonna just start to like look puffy. You know what I mean?
Like face fillers and shit.
Yeah, because he's already had all that shit done. Fuck, so it's like
he's got the cheekbones of someone with some work, no doubt.
But he and a partner bought Ed and Lorraine's their house and
Elton
basically.
Castee. As another content creator and ghost hunter.
Oh, yeah. Shit. And dude, Zach Bagan was like, had a press release being like, "I didn't even know this shit was for sale." Like, no one even approached us. Like, tons of different haunted museums were like, this was like under, you know, under everyone's radar. No one even knew this was an opportunity to buy this stuff.
Maybe a private sale, right?
Yeah. But it's like no one even knew Matt Rife was into the fucking paranormal, and now he's the owner of the Annabelle doll and 70 other cursed
items.
It
only makes sense. Like, you looked at that dude back in the day, like, he must have done some serious fucking sacrificing.
Oh, 100%,
dude. Fucking doing deals with the devil to fix 100%. That fucking chin and those teeth.
Yeah.
And
he owns the entire Warren Occult Museum.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's fucking crazy.
On a private sale. It's like, crazy. It's unheard of. Like, people are like... How? Who?
Well, it's crazy.
How is this guy?
Think, like, this kid's probably got obscene amount of money, and he's been famous for what, like 5 years, if that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's sitting on millions in cash, probably crazy. Just trying to do something.
Fucking crazy.
And he's like, you know what? I'm gonna buy the fucking Warren's artifacts.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a genius thing because he says he's gonna rent it out as a hotel, and you can go stay there.
Oh, fuck, scared. Boys. Yeah. Pod trip. Look,
I don't want to give that fucking pansy boy any more money.
I had to bust out Blue Knot because of that news. I was like, he's not the only one with the haunted doll. Look at that fucking.
We can't see it, or I can't.
I didn't realize it's behind me. I didn't realize, you know what's creepy about it? As I was pulling it out, I didn't realize its hands are bound behind its back. I was like, whoa, what's up with that?
It is a fucking creepy doll.
I was like, that is fucking weird. I was like, you're staying shackled in here. Jesus. Other news.
Show her to fucking Matt Rife for a cool fucking 50 G's. No, come get him.
Matt Rife, you can have it for 50 G's, baby, and a couple nights stay on the house.
Hotel.
Yeah. The other news is Avi Loeb's at it again.
Space news.
Dude, it's insane that this guy has tenure at Harvard, so he can just do whatever he wants. People are like, we have an asteroid, it's coming, showing unusual properties. He's like, we can't count out a fucking alien invasion in November from this craft coming in. And everyone's like, whoa!
Dude, not only can you not count an alien invasion, he says the probability that it is natural is like 1%.
Yeah.
So he's like 99% sure this thing's an alien probe.
What is
that's coming?
It'll be
comes here in November.
Tenure and going senile.
He's not that old though.
Well, it's like, what else are we talking about here? Why he just fucking instantly went crazy? Like,
so no, what I think he does is what I think, because
he's on to something, boys.
You think so? Hasn't he been on to a lot of things that happened?
Yeah, he does.
Yet?
No, the only other big one was Oumuamua.
Yeah, he said he was
a wrong.
Yeah.
He wasn't a wrong-a-wronga. He was never disproven.
Yeah. But I think what he does is he's like, I want to study this. It's interesting. This is interesting. We have this interstellar object coming into our solar system, once in a lifetime chance to study it. And he says shit like this because shit like this sells. So now you have people in Congress calling and be like, we need to study this thing to make sure it's not what Avi Loeb's saying. And Avi Loeb's like, well, who is the person going to be studying it? This guy, you know what I mean? So it's like, he does that, I think, to garner interest. Is there a chance it is? Sure. Is it likely the case? No.
So he's almost pulling a fucking Coyote Peterson on us.
Little bit. Yeah.
It's
I think
fucked
so.
Up.
We've had him on the show. He's a good dude. But I mean, I think he's, I just think he says this shit because he can, and it garners interest in the community.
No, I mean, he's just claiming, because a lot of people are claiming that it's definitely a water ice comet, like a regular comet.
Yeah.
And he's saying the analysis of like the spectrogram, like how they examine the frequencies when they shoot light at it, is not coming back 100% that it's just a naturally occurring water ice comet. So he's thinking... that he's just saying like, hey, we can't just say this is 100%. It's 99% that's alien. Okay. No big deal.
Yeah. And I read something about the speed too. This is similar to Oumuamua, like something about the speed that's happening.
Isn't this one?
On.
I think this one's even bigger than Oumuamua, and it's coming from the other side of the sun. Like from, it's an interstellar object again. So it's coming from outside our solar system, zooming its way across around the sun. And yeah, the thing about Oumuamua is that it changed direction in a way. They're like, that's not natural. And then some people just said that's just the ice propelling it off path. And then our boy, Avi Loeb, said, it's an alien, defunct alien spaceship that's lost in space. This is the best.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, so we'll see. I mean, we have to November to prep ourselves for the pending invasion. So
it's Comet 3I or / Atlas, they're calling it. So see what happens.
Now, the other, you know, the main subject that we're talking about tonight is, you know, basically Mexican anomalies, UFO anomalies. Yeah. Some people may have been aware via the Mr. Ballin episode with Tom Segura of the Rafael Pacheco Perez story. We're going to talk about that tonight. But Andrew doing some deep dives.
He's digging.
Digging in the archives to try to...
What's his number, this case file called again?
Or 364.
364? 364. Yeah. Just do case file 364. Ay caramba.
Ay caramba.
Yeah.
Ay caramba.
Yeah. That's great. That's 100% what this case is.
It better be.
What do you got for us, Andrew? What you
I got some fucking you, let's go.
You so uncovered some dirt.
So right. Something deep, something different. You're saying like a pre?
I've been invigorated by AI. This is all sounds so good.
I'm supposed to tell people that.
You guys ready? You wanna go on a journey?
Are you ready?
No, I'm not ready. I'm gonna fuck. There's gonna be peanut
You're
butter marble
butcher this
all
so
over
bad.
The place.
And when Andrew reads,
it's hooked on phonics, man. On the morning of May 3rd, 1975, the skies over central Mexico were clear. The sun shimmered over Lake,
do it.
Tacuanista. As a young pilot named Carlos Antonio de los Martos. That's not his name at all. It's Carlos Antonio de los Santos Montiel. Carlos Antonio de los Santos Montiel.
You killed my father.
You killed my father. Not prepared to die. Just 23 years old, climbed into his Piper PA-24 Comanche for what should have been a routine solo flight. Carlos was no amateur, a commercial pilot in training with solid flight hours behind him. He was disciplined, level-headed, and by all accounts, unshakable in the cockpit.
But by the end of the flight,
he was dangerous, maybe. But by the end of the flight, Carlos would be a changed man. And this story would ignite controversy, disbelief, and fear that still echoes through UFO lore.
I'm already disbelieving.
I'm puckered.
At around 10:30 a.m., as he reached cruising altitude just shy of 15,000 feet, Carlos was nearing the outskirts of Lake Really Long Name. When something strange began to happen.
Do it. Do your best. Do your best.
Tequisquintango.
Tequisquintango.
Yeah, fucking whatever. First, the vibration, a deep low hum that made a yoke tremble in his hands. Then, without warning, three metallic discs appeared around his aircraft. On the right wingtip, one on the left, and one coming straight at him. The third object darted under his plane in a split second. And as it passed beneath, Carlos felt a sickening jolt, like something had clipped him. His aircraft shuddered. His instincts kicked in. He tried to correct course, but the controls were dead. His yoke didn't respond.
Mayday,
the pedals
mayday.
Felt
Dios
locked.
Mio!
Ay, caramba! He was flying, but not in control. Carlos did what every good pilot does. He called
eject,
for help.
Eject,
mayday,
eject.
Mayday. I'm not controlling the plane, man. I have lost control of this aircraft. Air traffic control in Mexico City scrambled to respond. And as his terrified voice crackled over the radio, something even stranger was unfolding on their radar. Three unidentified objects were flying in perfect formation Bing. Alongside him. Not Bing. Military jets, not commercial airliners. Nothing registered. Then the blips did something radar techs would later describe as aerodynamically impossible.
Oh, yeah. No. That's good.
They turned sharp, impossible, 270 degrees, all while flying to 450 and 550 knots. And then they merged into one and streaked off at the speed of light, straight forward toward,
Go, go, Power Rangers.
Popo,
Do
straight
it.
Towards a volcano.
Straight towards Popo, no.
Popo, calibre,
Tacotero.
Inside the cockpit, Carlos was still paralyzed by fear. I could see them. Gray metallic disc, man. Three meters wide, little domes on top. One hovered just off his left wing. Another mirrored it to the right. The third disappeared below. He was certain they were guiding his plane. Carlos regained limited control. He wrestled with the landing gear lever, but it was jammed. He used a manual crank, kicking and grabbing it with a wrench, desperately trying to lower the gear in time to land. After circling the airport multiple times, he finally brought the plane down in a bumpy but safe landing. His colleagues rushed to meet him. He staggered out of the plane, pale, shaking, and barely able to speak. We're not done yet, boys. We're just getting to the aftermath. You want a comment? You got some comments?
I got a comment. That brings me to something that is just kind of intriguing based on now we're hearing these planes kind of being taken over. All right? What I'm thinking in first in my head is 9/11. We got to relook at it from a completely different angle.
Yes. There you go.
Secondly, what I'm, because I never thought about them taking over people and taking over pilots and taking over analog crafts, because
they usually just like use some type of like EMP and shuts it down, powers off.
Yeah. So now the other thing that popped into my head was like with this, like when you're saying like, oh, he flew around the airport for a while before landing. I really want to get the air traffic controller fucking transcripts of that guy who just did that in Vancouver.
What?
Oh, the guy was driving the plane or flying the plane for Allah.
So a guy picked up a plane in Victoria and flew above Vancouver International Airport for like an hour and 20 minutes. Shut down the airport, and then he landed without a scene and got arrested. And they were just like, yeah. And then we picked him up, and I was like, that's weird. Like, that's a weird story. And now I hear this, and I'm like,
I want to hear the air traffic control for like an hour. He just stole a plane. Oh God, it's crazy. You got to listen to him. He like literally has this like super in-depth conversation with air traffic control, and they get like a little bit emotional and shit. And it's crazy. The guy actually sounds like a giant beauty. Explains why he took the plane. And then he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm running out of fuel and I don't know how to land. So he's like, it's been real, man. Like,
see ya.
And then crashes the plane into like some body of water somewhere. It's fucking crazy.
All right.
It's trippy. Yeah. I mean, it's the way to go.
But that, like in Vancouver, that guy stole it, circled for like an hour and landed and then was arrested without seeing, like nothing listen, issue.
A guy looks like me. You're not making it through any metal detector.
Yeah, that's what, right?
Bend over, I was like,
how did this guy get within 100 meters of the airport before getting flagged?
How did he get the plane? Did he buy a plane?
Out of Victoria. No, he stole it, apparently.
That's off the runway?
We don't know much about it other than he stole the plane, flew it to Vancouver from Victoria, and then circled Vancouver International Airport for an hour, shut down the entire airport.
Dude, I guess like if you get a plane onto the runway, they can't stop you. You just take off if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they could crash a fucking helicopter.
Dude, that kid, the barefoot bandit.
They could get a black off right in the way. They could take that. You know, all these flight accidents, these mega crashes are all starting to make a lot more sense now.
Well, could you imagine
remote controlled by aliens?
Well, you think about MH-30, right? MH-370, I mean, right? Like that kind of throws me back to this one, hearing this kind of stuff of like, again, I just never really thought about them just being able to control analog craft, but then I'm like, are they controlling analog craft or are they just controlling the pilots? Right. Which is interesting.
Yeah, that makes sense. We know they can control people, right? We know they take over people's minds.
But then what I'm saying is, does that make me relook all the incidences where people are saying EMPs, my lights just went off? Or did they turn off the lights, but they weren't in control? Like they were in their brain, but they weren't in control of their body. So like they're watching the power turn off.
Why would that be a priority?
What I'm saying is that like when these abduction stories are like, I was in my car and then all the lights turned off, everything, the radio, everything went dark. But really, in reality, it's the aliens have taken control of their body and their body just turns the key off.
Yeah, but like this, we don't like, it's like generalizing. It's the same aliens that do this every time.
Yeah, sure. That's true. Different tech. Yeah, different tech, maybe. Yeah. What else? What else you have there?
The story getting into the aftermath a little bit here.
Yeah, let's get in the aftermath.
So he gets out of the plane.
Everybody rushes to him like it's like the end of fucking Matt, you know, of fucking Top Gun. Like he's like on some of his shoulders, he's got his fucking helmet in his hand, everybody's running up to him, fucking shaking their hands. He successfully landed and survived. The authorities tested Carlos for drugs, alcohol, hypoxia, nothing. Physically fine, mentally shattered. They said his eyes looked different, glazed, as if he's seen something he wasn't supposed to. That would have been strange enough, but then came even stranger. A few days later, as Carlos prepared to be on the local TV show to share his story, he was approached by two men in black suits
and lipstick, tall, with no eyebrows,
pale, almost albino.
Don't say the word, Spanish, Andrew.
Their Spanish was perfect, but clipped, unnatural, and they made a coin disappear. They told him, do not speak about what you saw. If you do,
do not speak,
your family will suffer. Carlos was terrified. He canceled the TV interview. Later, he was visited again, this time just before meeting the famed UFO investigator, Dr. J. Allen Hynek. Same warning. Same expressionless men. Despite it all, Carlos pushed forward. He gave interviews. He never changed his story. In fact, in later years, he would report more bizarre encounters and believe that what happened to him was not an accident, but an invitation. It fucking kills it for me. Kills it for me.
Was not a what?
All these guys have multiple encounters after this one. It's like,
well,
if you're contacted, maybe you make a connection. They are locked onto you now. They're going to follow you around.
Maybe.
Onto your dreams.
Also, again, I always think that when part of me always goes like, if it was me, I try to put myself in their shoes of like, hey, I have this weird, crazy encounter. How do I monetize after this? Now I have more. Right, because I have this one encounter where I've seen this unbelievable stuff, so now I can like extrapolate it into more money making endeavors. Like, is the first one real, and then after that, it's I need to make bank off this, kind of like Travis Walton. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's kind of like it's like heroin users. You know, you're chasing that dragon. You know, you get that hit of being seeing the alien, being abducted, whatever the case is, and then it's like, oh, that I got to find that again, and then I can also make money from it.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's the big thing, is they're just trying to squeeze every last fucking drop they can from these things.
Like, because honestly, I'm like, fuck, I'm like, if you saw it, if you for sure had this experience.
Apparently,
and then after.
There's two African, fucking shit.
Do it.
Two air traffic controllers confirmed the radar.
How did you get, would you say African in there?
You did say African. Buddy. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did.
Two African. Well, yeah. Fuck. All right.
I don't know,
7%. That happens. Yes. Seven nudes.
And this is 1975. So it's not like reporting this stuff is good for your pilot career. You know what I mean? Like for your pilot's license, you get grounded for any kind of this weird shit back then. I don't know how Mexico was as tough on regulations, but
so it's
again,
like the same scene, like when Iceman's looking at Maverick and he's like, I don't like you because you're dangerous.
No, I'm pretty sure
because like you're fucking crazy.
I'm pretty sure
your license.
Global pilot license, any type of commercial pilot license, they're all like the same.
A standard.
Credentials. Yeah.
So then it's like, it only hurts you coming and forward and saying anything that you saw anything in the air, especially at this time.
Well, yeah, now you're, this guy might be a little unstable. Do we let him in the air?
Yeah, 100%. Like you were at a loss because like it wasn't until just recently they passed legislation to allow pilots to report weird things, and I imagine pilots are still like, "Don't do it. It's a
Don't
fucking
it. It's
trick.
Not worth it.
It's a trick.
There's something on the wing. Something."
Well, it's interesting though because like so it's like Mexico has you know a kind of a rich history of these weird.
La Chupacabra.
Yeah, have these weird aviation incidents, which gets us to Rafael. I don't know how you say his middle
Pacheco
name.
Pacheco Perez.
Pacheco Perez. So this is the one that you may have heard. We're going to go in depth a little bit on it. June 21st, 1976. So like a year later, after this initial encounter, Rafael's a young student at the Mexican Aviation School in Chimichanga. Chimalhuacan. He's got 52 hours of flight time, and he experienced one of the most unusual and harrowing experiences that, I mean, it probably terrifying for the kid. He took off from the airfield in Chimalhuacan at around 8:15 a.m. for a short flight within the aerospace of the state of Mexico. He's basically going for an hour. And the plan is he's...
Test flight.
It's a test flight.
And get in the air and do a circle, come back and land. Like, easy peasy. Show us how you can land this plane by yourself.
I talked to one of my buddies that's a pilot, and he goes, not a lot's changed. When you're trying to get your hours up to be a commercial pilot or get your pilot's license, he said a lot of times... under like an instructor on the ground, it'll be go up. You basically do half hour, like a half hour, big hour loop and down. And you just log another hour to get to
take
your
off
required.
And landing. All you need tons of.
Yeah. To get your required hour. So it's like a perfect hour. That's what he set out to do. But, you know, within a short time, like, you know, he starts to, he gets up to altitude and he starts to encounter some fog and rain.
It was like a foggy day to begin with though, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
They're like, if it's only because he's going on such a short flight that they're like, fuck, no big deal. But yeah, it was a foggy and a normal day. Weather wasn't ideal.
So he goes in and he's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to start my bank to start kind of my big turn. He's just doing a big loop. Controls don't respond. The fucking whatever the fucking, what do they call it? Joystick?
Ay, caramba.
He's like, ah, Dios míos. It's stuck, man. Like it's going straight and he can't pitch it up, down, left, right. It's going straight. So he's kind of like freaking out a little bit. He's trying to
jam that yoke on a different circle. Fucking,
yes. And it's doing nothing. And so then he tries to get air traffic control. It's just static. And he just keeps going. Meanwhile, on the ground, he disappears from radar. And an hour later after he leaves, after he left, he reappears off the Pacific coast near the port of Acapulco, 270 kilometers away from the crow flies. So he reappears, and obviously someone's like, hey, who is this? And he's like, yo, this is Rafael. I don't know where I am. He's looking around. He's like, it's nice. He can see water.
He's like, I must have fallen asleep.
Yeah. He's like, I must have passed out or fallen asleep at the helm. He's like, I don't know where I am because there's no bodies of water anywhere within his travel time. Like he's looking down. He can see that an hour has passed. He's got like 3/4 fuel. He's like, where is there water? He's so disoriented. The first thing the air traffic controller says is, who's in the cockpit with you? Who's there with you? And he goes, no, it's just me. So they're like, all right, don't worry. Like, hey, we're going to get you. This is where you are. He's kind of shook because he's like, where am I? This doesn't fucking make any sense. Like within an hour, he's traveled 270 kilometers.
Well, I mean, I read Could this you, and I mean, that's not actually, even a prop plane flies that. It's not like that far. It's just that he took off from, it's central Mexico, right in the middle.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he's at the fucking coast. But I don't know, like some accounts like, oh, that flight should have taken him 3 hours. I was like, no, probably not. No. That's about, if he's in a prop plane, that's probably still under an hour.
Yes. But the weird part of it is like, so as he lands, right, he lands in Acapulco, basically authorities come, they kind of scoop him up as they would. And that's when they kind of fill him in. That he was talking to air traffic control for over an hour off the coast doing circles, right? So he's like the entire time that he's been flying has been over the West Coast somehow. Like he's almost instantaneously traveled at 270 kilometers and he's now flown in a circle for an hour off the West Coast. That's the incredible part to me. Don't listen to anyone that says like, oh, that's a 3-hour flight. No, it's probably not. Like Zell said, it's
like, even if he's in a Cessna, the Cessnas are still going like,
yes, you know, pretty. That doesn't, the weird part about this is that air traffic control has already talked to him for an entire hour.
Hey,
Look at who it is. Whoa.
Dan was also controlled by an alien tonight. Yeah.
So air traffic control talks to this guy for an hour. He's circling. He's like, what? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Now, basically, what they're saying is they're like, yeah, you were talking to us. And they hand Raphael a transcript. Well,
I think the thing too for him is like, as soon as he gets down here, he gets met by officials, but he's also like getting met by medical staff and shit like that too. Because they initially think like, this guy's fucking batshit crazy.
Having a fucking episode.
And after he passes all these medical exams and, you know, I imagine some type of like quick psychic evaluations, right? Nothing too in depth. They start realizing, okay, man, this guy's got his wits about him. He's not fucking crazy. He wasn't having a psychotic break. We're going to let him in. Like, yeah, you were fucking talking that entire time that you were supposedly sleeping or passed out. And like stuff you were saying, fucking kind of freaky.
But let's just, Dan just checked in here. So we're going to take a short beer break. We're going to get him up to speed and we're going to come right back. We'll be right back.
Let me tell you, brothers, about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. From sleepless nights to stress-filled days, Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends, brother. And they've got gummies for literally everything. Immunosupport, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. No pesticides, brother. No BS. And they ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code ALIEN. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember, brothers and sisters, use that promo code ALIEN check out and save 20% on your first order.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I'm Dan.
Hey, that's Dan.
Hey, we're all back. Right, yeah, hey, we're back at the kids. Well, another transcript is picked up by air traffic control. Carlos Dekretsky. Dekretsky?
Dekretsky.
And he says...
Mexico's greatest hockey player.
Yeah.
I just got it actually right now. I don't know why it took me forever.
He says that like Pacheco, as he appeared on like radar, he starts going, they're like, hey, like, who is this? Who's flying this? For a minute, they probably have a panic attack. They think it's going to be their Nuevo Once. But he then starts going like, who is this? Who's flying this craft? And Pacheco goes like, hey, it just comes on like a dull voice and he's like, it doesn't matter who we are or where we come from. It's enough for you to know that we are beings, inhabitants of this universe to which you belong. Our planet is many light years away from yours. It's enough for you to know that you are not alone in the universe. And then like, just like dull, like just no emotion, just straight. And like he,
monotone,
you know, they're
robotic.
Yeah. They're trying to like, hey, okay, cool. What are you flying? Where did you come from? And it's like, it's also said they had always been here and that compared to them, humans were primitive, that they were watching humanity. From you're just getting roasted by this fucking monotone alien. You're like, yeah, okay, where are you flying from? It's like, listen,
you
human,
guys are
you're
fucking pathetic.
You're, fucking
listen,
insect.
Listen, you ape. you are just an ant under our boot. But he basically says like they're watching humanity, from the skies, and that humanity had to change or an irreversible global catastrophe would occur. You are not alone in the universe, and there are other races that we are keeping away from you, but we are watching you. The voice, like, apparently, like, different people spoke to him, and, like, the voice understood different languages.
Yeah,
and,
so
like,
talked to different people. Trilingual. Were trilingual. He knew Spanish, English, and German, and spoke to Pancheco.
See from Argentina.
I want to know what they fucking talked about in German right now.
What's his last name?
Yeah. That's what I want to know. I want to see the German transcript, right?
Gretzky.
But I mean, that's interesting because if you think about that, like, it's like, you know, so that they have like 40, they say 45 minutes of transcript of this thing, you know, saying stuff like that. And it's like, again, like we talked about with that Vancouver flight, just flew above Vancouver airport for an hour and then lands without issue. Part of me is like, now I'm interested. I'm like, what was that guy saying in the cockpit? Right? Like, is this
I bet
a
you
thing?
They keep that one pretty significantly under wraps, so, because that's got to be pretty embarrassing
for everyone involved.
Airport staff, right? Like,
oh, yeah, for sure. For both Victoria and Vancouver International Airport.
Absolutely.
But I mean, again, the weird thing is that he just, you know, he just pops up
the
off the coast.
That he's fucking ghost riding a plane and pretending to be an alien. That's what the
weird
thing is.
that's what people maybe are thinking, but he's so convincingly, when the frequency change and it becomes Raphael again, and he's saying, help, I'm Raphael Pacheco Perez, student 82 from the Aviation School of Mexico City. Whoever is out there, please reply. Like, everyone's kind of, they're like at a loss. They're like, what? Wait, what? We're just talking to this guy. What's going on now? So it's weird that they're like, they have this thing conversation with him afterwards that like is shocking because he's a panicked student, right? So far away. And the fact is like, again, it's not, like Zell said, it's not a 3-hour flight. It's way shorter. But the fact that they, for 45 minutes to an hour, said they talked to him flying in circles off the coast of Acapulco is the interesting part, because he hadn't used up enough fuel to get there.
So he teleported.
Like, he teleported. It's like, is the only explanation.
Yeah, because his fuel tank was like, probably would only been, I mean, short range. So maybe it was 300 or something, or whatever it is. So somehow he gets there, he flies around for 45 minutes. But it's, if he's flying for 45 minutes, then he's already flowing for an hour, like if it was a straight line distance. So it's like he teleported and flew, that his whole flight time was him just flying around the ocean,
dude. And then my question to you guys is, so like that's basically the end of the case. I mean, this is, you know, from different accounts, is like this is only available in like a library in Mexico to go and view the transcripts and the notes on this case file. No one knows. Yeah, or a Mr. Ball. And well, that's his claims. But like the thing for me is I started to think about it, is I'm like, if they have the technology to just like take over a human, you know, for that duration, like, is it limited to 45 minutes, or could they be inhabiting it? Like, you know, people talk about like they're among us, you know, like aliens in hiding. But I'm like, could it be that they're just in like, could it be that they just possess human bodies? Like they're just taking
like,
over.
Like classical possession, like
yeah,
you know what I mean? Exorcist type shit. Or are you talking about,
or just like this,
like
telekinesis? Yeah, they're like so like, I mean, what's that fucking weird ass turtle guy that is in the Senate there, Dan, in the States? Looks like
Mitch, a turtle guy,
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, that's a guy. You know who I'm talking about?
Who's actively melting?
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like they've been holding on to his body too long. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm like, is it possible that like, if these races are that technologically advanced?
Oh, he is a turtle. This guy. I fucking forgot about this guy.
Yeah, dude, he's 100% a turtle. But like, if it's, is it possible that they could just.
How does someone get a fucking neck like that?
Oh, jowls, eh?
Just ridiculous.
Just a big old front.
It's like no chin. It's just like
it's one
just
giant nut sack on his fucking
like his chin bone is like melted into his stomach sack or his throat sack, whatever this thing is.
Gullet. It looks like he looks like he rolls stone. It looks like he picks two new stones every morning to roll around in that gullet to help digest his food.
This guy looks like he's a few adrenal chrome feeding shy here.
But like,
I'm surprised he's still alive.
My question is I'm like, is it possible for them to like, you know, take possession of people of influence, right? And then commandeer them. If we're going to believe Raphael and this happened to him and that he has really no memory of what happened, could they be doing that on Earth? And then like, you know, when you see we've seen these cases of these weird suicides or these weird deaths and you're like, well, that was strange. It's like, is it just them kind of offing themselves after they've, you know, inhabited a human body and done whatever task they need to do. Exactly. Well, because they can't have the person come back and be like, what happened the last month? I don't remember.
Carlos.
I don't know. It's his whole message and stuff is like, it's very, I mean, for Aelin, it fits with the theme, but it's something that is similar to what other alleged contactees around that time or previously, like maybe in the previous, maybe like he's 76, so like a decade before. So yeah, 60s, 50s and 60s, your George Van Tassels, your George Adamskys, like those guys who were coming to, you know, especially I think mostly George Van Tassel and the Integratron, their communications their alleged communications with extraterrestrials are very much the same thing. Like the anti-nuclear humans are primitive and need to.
Hear me out for a second. I get that it's similar, but I just have a hard time believing that Raphael, a young kid from Mexico, gives a shit.
Well, he's just the antenna. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, you know.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. To fake that and be like, you know what? I'm going to fake this because I'm against nukes. You know what I mean? And I'm going to ruin my pilot's license and everything that I had going to try to just make the stand to try to get nuclear disarmament. I just don't buy that angle. I just don't. It doesn't make sense.
What, like, why would anyone else go and protest and shit like that? Because they feel strongly against this stuff. Maybe he feels like this is his way of getting it.
Yeah, but it's a weird, what I'm saying is a weird flex to fucking train for 52 hours to do something, then pull this stunt. And well, first off, the stunt is also teleportation. So first off, he invents teleportation.
Maybe this guy's mentally ill to begin with. Maybe he just had a fucking psychotic break in the plane.
It doesn't account for the time. That's the problem with this one, is the alleged time that we're looking at. Forget the three-hour flight. Hour.
Did you always make a joke, Gilligan's Island joke? Did you do that? Okay, three-hour
No, we didn't make
tour.
A Gilligan's Island joke, but it's...
Check the box.
Well, we said it's 270. You could probably do it in an hour. But the weird thing is he's picked up circling for an hour later. Like, there's just not enough time for him to make that trip and circle for an hour he has.
And it's tough because it's been like kept under wraps, right? So well in this random fucking Mexican library that you can only get like audio transcripts of it. It's like, this has basically been like telephone fucking game for how long?
To Andrew's point,
right? Like, we don't
to
know
Andrew's
any
point,
of this-
what I think I kind of found interesting about that is that, yeah, like this account recently came to light. Like, I mean, the stuff that about information for this maybe goes back to 2022, like was like the earliest account, but they're in Spanish. So to that, I'm like, I wonder how many of encounters like this are buried in a, you know, Mexican libraries that haven't been translated, or, you know, you do have any
or
of those
any other countries. Cause we always talk about like, oh, everything always happens in the States. And it's like,
that's just
maybe
what, yeah,
it's just better
access
to the information in the States.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting cause in 76, so same year as this, there was a very similar event in Tehran where two Iranian F-4 Phantom jets experienced communication and weapon system failures while intercepting a UFO. Right, so they same idea. They completely lost control of their planes, and
that's a fighter plane too.
Again, this thing was tracked by radar, same as the two stories that we just talked about. So, it's possible that they were testing some type of new equipment in this, you know, in these time frame, but I don't know. It's
let me get a little wild with this one, because people, if you look on Twitter and various conspiracy communities,
things get wild on Twitter for sure.
Well, people always say that the MH370, they post these fake videos, or you know, alleged fake videos of like an orb and then the plane disappearing. They're like, oh, it was teleported. And then if you look at like what you're saying, it's like, you know, were they testing some sort of advanced technology? If they did that to Raphael and they fucking, you know, transported him there and did whatever, and this was a test by some other government agency, is like, could that be maybe what's happened to like MH370? Is that like these tests, they're like, yeah, it works, we can do it, but they're like, fuck, we don't know where we sent it. Like, we don't know, it didn't work this time. And luckily it had some people we didn't want people on the flight we wanted gone.
That's kind of where my brain goes. Frederick Valentich. Like, Valentich's airplane.
You see the guy that flows up?
The Valentich disappearance,
which was, that was 78. That was like 2 years later. So maybe they fucked that one up. Let's hear. But
well, the aliens, they've been honing their telepathic craft for quite some time now.
So are we under the guise that then it's they're inhabiting the pilots? It has nothing to do, like, they can't really fuck with the analog craft.
It could be. Maybe it's like,
well, except he says in the beginning, that's the thing though.
He lost control
and he couldn't do anything. So it's like
maybe he's lost control. Maybe it's like telepathic spillover.
Maybe it's like he's the antenna. So it's maybe not necessarily trying to contact him, but maybe we're getting like they have certain people that they're attuned to, or people who are astropaths or whatever.
Or
but
maybe
they, like, they receive messages, but there's just so many messages coming in that one just gets over and then hits him by accident, and they're like, wait. Shit. Wrong number.
They're just up in the saucer. They're like, all right, give me the phone. You're all going to die. Well, the thing is, I was thinking about like, okay, so they take over his body. Like, maybe it's like anesthesia. Like, that beginning phase before he loses is like anesthesia setting in. So it's like he's still moving, and he's like, I'm moving the joystick. I need to turn left. But then his hands won't turn left, and he's taking it as, I can't do it. It's not doing it, where it's like someone's not letting him do it, but it's whatever anesthesia that causes him to black out is kicking in. So his account of, I lost control of the craft, nothing, the controls aren't working.
I don't know. I buy telekinesis more than anesthesia, because you still need him to fly the fucking plane.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying I'm not saying anesthesia in the sense that I think they put him under, but like,
you mean amnesia? Like, they're taking
Well, it's
memory?
Just, he has some memory of the craft not working, but I don't believe they have the power to control analog craft. I just don't believe that. Well, so
I'll tell you how they can control analog craft. I'll tell you how, because this is now, after all these years, this is my leading theory. It's a simulation. And these aliens and stuff, they're just controlling the program. Sometimes they're just fucking around in here. Analog, digital, it doesn't matter. It's all part of the simulation. And if you are the programmer from the next dimension above,
you can fuck with the,
you can do whatever you want. There is no like, oh, it's analog, so we can't control it. No, it's just part of the computer. It's just analog to us, the creators of this, in this computer program, we created this plane.
Yeah.
But if we can consider like other dimensions are just a simulation above, and there's probably a simulation above, like, no matter which way, we've talked about so many times before, no matter which way you look at the universe, it's infinite in any way. You could just go like straight line. Well, it must just go forever as far as we can tell. If you go, well, the religious view, there's a God. Well, then who created, if there's a God, then someone must have created that God. Or if you're like, oh, it's a simulation. Well, someone created us, and then someone probably created them. And how many layers deep?
It's like there's others. Like, we're about to create our own simulation.
We're already creating the AI. So it's like that, and the simulations in the games. Like, we're already doing the next layer down.
So I get it. I get what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense of how they would just kind of fuck with everything then.
Or he's having some fucking mental episode, and he doesn't know what the fuck happened.
The mental episode doesn't account for the distance. That's the only issue, right? Like that's the smoking gun in this one is the distance.
The smoking gun. The weird thing is if it's only just been an hour, but he also flew around for 45 minutes over Acapulco, over the ocean.
Yeah.
So the entire time, the flight time would say was about an hour from, what's the place called? Chimichurluca.
Chimichurluca.
Central Mexico to Acapulco. It was about 300 and whatever kilometers.
270. Yeah.
270. Which is probably about a 1 hour flight for most prop planes, maybe a little bit longer. So he had that whole flight time, but somehow skipped it and then flew around for 45 minutes over Acapulco.
Off the coast, yes.
That's the crazy part.
Like if the timing worked, that you could say he flew an hour and then he circled for an hour and then landed. He did an hour. Then you could go, the guy's fucking crazy. So I might even be on board with that. This is a stunt. He had a mental breakdown. But the problem is,
took
you
a hard
can't
left
account.
And kept going.
You can't account for the flight from where he was to the ocean.
So yeah, he hit like a fucking, some type of wormhole or something.
Yeah. I don't know,
he just skipped the distance and then flew around in a circle, discombobulated, couldn't control his own craft, had no clue what was going on.
Something talking through him before then coming to and being in a panic, in a state of panic. And again, this does nothing for the guy. If this is a hoax, you're like, cool hoax. You can't fly anymore.
Maybe that's how they take control of the crafts, is like by using the wormhole. And once they're in the wormhole, they have complete control of what's happening. And that accounts for like getting out of the wormhole, coming back to fucking your senses, being like, what the fuck happened?
Oh, so they create the wormhole. The plane flies into it.
And it's their way of crossing through the dimension.
Yeah.
To use whatever him as a vessel at this point in time. And then when he comes out of the wormhole, that's when he regains his fucking consciousness. But he's obviously in a different area.
But yeah, it's just, again, I could chalk this up to a whole shitload of things if you can't account. But the time is the fucking issue here with this one, where it's you're like, that's
yeah, the trans weird. The translocation. But again, it's like the physical evidence that you're kind of like, well, how did he get there? There to be total disclosure about this, like there are a couple accounts where it's like both of them sound weird, where it's like, yeah, like he's either he has no fuel or he didn't use up any fuel to get where he was. Like he should have had enough fuel either, to get to where he was.
It doesn't matter. The fuel doesn't matter. He could have an empty tank and it still doesn't make any sense.
And then there's another account where they said that he hadn't used almost any fuel. Like, so it's like either one is weird, because either one you're like, okay, he didn't use any fuel and he should have ran out of fuel like one third of the way there, or the fact that he had no fuel, which it's like, well, you shouldn't have been able to make that anyways. You shouldn't have been able to make that 3 hour. What it was like, it's supposed to be a 3 hour trip.
It's like, because we don't know. Cause if he's just going off for a quick, he's just doing a quick takeoff, flying around for a bit, landing, he could have left with one third tank. Cause he's like, oh, that's well within my limit of what I'm flying. It's no big deal.
Yeah, cause it was a little training plane, like a little Cessna or whatever. And it's like,
little Cessna of some kind. Yeah. And you fly 270K, skip the hour, then fly for 45. All this weird stuff, lost control of your plane. I mean, the losing control of the plane, I mean, you could just, if you, like, say I'm flying a plane and I want to fuck with, I really want to cause a story. I just say I lost control of the plane and I stick to my gun. I stick to my guns the whole time. I never lost control of the plane, but I'm talking like I lost control of the plane. So I guess there's that maybe, but it still doesn't account for the translocation, the teleportation from central Mexico.
Yeah, and
to
then
the
like
coast.
You're flying to another airport. Like your flight plan is logged. You going here? I mean, when they arrested him basically on hijacking charges, because it's like you can't just fly to another airport and land.
You can't just land at an airport.
You missed it, Dan. And I'll briefly tell you, just because I want to tell you. But like this just happened in Vancouver. Someone stole a plane from Victoria, flew to Vancouver International Airport, shut the airport down, just circled the airport for an hour and then landed without incident, was arrested. We don't know anything about it. And then hearing this case, I was like, What was he saying? I want to know what this guy was saying.
Release the flight transcript.
I mean, it's not something, I mean, it is unusual, but it's not something that hasn't happened before. I mean, there's a couple of cases, people like steal airplanes and they fly. But you,
oh, dude, the Barefoot Bandit? The Barefoot Bandit used to fucking steal so many planes off the, all through the Pacific Northwest. You guys ever hear about that story? That
the kid? What?
The Barefoot Bandit?
No.
Dude, it was this like 17-year-old kid, 16 or 17-year-old kid who just like basically was a runaway, and he would live in vacation homes and he just break in there when people weren't living. And then he would just like, authorities couldn't get him. And he stole like three airplanes and crashed three airplanes and like survived.
And lived?
And lived, yeah. Jeez. And he just, and he was like on the run for years, and they nicknamed him the Barefoot Bandit because he would just, if you weren't in the vacation home, he'd just break in and live there until someone came and then he'd run away. And like, so cops couldn't find him. They had dogs like trying to go, like they figured he was living in caves at one point. And they eventually got him, I think 3 or 4 years into his like issues. But like, yeah, he stole three planes and crashed three planes and survived.
I would have, that would have been better than Catch Me If You Can. Should have done that for this dude.
Isn't Catch Me If You Can like a, yeah, didn't that fictional story now? Like, didn't they like make?
No, no, it's a real story.
I'm thinking about a different one. I thought they said that they had made it up.
Yeah, I hope so. Cause I thought Buddy works for like the FBI now.
For real.
I Frank thought so Abagnale? Too. Abagnale?
That's right? Probably not his real name. But anyways, yeah, it's, dude, it's a interesting, I mean, very few times now do you see these like UFO cases that, you know, aren't mainstream, kind of hit the mainstream. And this is one of them. Don't let it, again, don't let anyone, don't listen to any bullshit where people are like, it was a 3-hour flight this and it, real, we don't know how it happened. It's not a 3-hour flight. That's not the weird part. Do the math in your head. 270 kilometers flying a plane by the crow's fly. It's not going to take 3 hours. Planes travel faster.
I mean, it could take that much amount of time if you, I guess, if you just went on a crazy, like weren't flying in a straight line, you just took it on a joyride and you had the fuel. It could take that long, I guess.
Yeah, you just went for it.
But he lost from, like, he dropped off radar and stuff. So, yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
And it just turns up and they're just like, I don't know. Yeah. It's the chance of like being brought up on charges of hijacking and being like, you're betting it all on, you know, well, I was communicated by aliens. I had amnesia. Like, yeah, it's.
Like, yeah, that's a weird cover story. Like, that's even like, it just doesn't, the whole thing doesn't add up to me. For a guy, like, if we're saying this guy's crazy or this, I'm like, it just doesn't make sense. That's a lot of time invested in getting this license.
I think they just
and I'm guessing it's a thing of privilege, because it probably still is now. Like, if you want to become a pilot, it's like, it's not, expensive.
You have to pay for all your training hours.
Yeah, it's fucking expensive. So I imagine like it was exactly the same there. So it was a little bit of a thing of privilege. And it's like, you just have this guy's like, all right, I've done enough. I've done enough hours now. Time to pull my fucking hijinks here. And then fuck it. Like, that just doesn't make sense.
The whole
reason
he got his pilot's license. He's a fucking,
it was a long con.
He's a fucking activist. He wants the world to be a better place. So that's why he signed up. He's a flower child. It's the 70s. This is his way to do it.
I mean,
who else shared this fucking story other than him?
But here's the thing. Wouldn't it make more sense if you flew to the States then and you got picked up by air traffic control in the States? Yeah, but what I'm saying is
he'd go into fucking alligator Alcatraz.
What I'm saying is
ICE would be all over this poor fucking guy.
Telling Mexicans that they better fucking be smart with their nukes. You know what I mean? Like, does Mexico have nukes? No. So like,
that's why,
what are they
going to
do?
That's why, like, I think the ETs might have just like dialed in the wrong number. They're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they're looking,
for a different person.
Or they just don't know. Or they just don't really know like our borders and like.
But it's always randos that end up getting these stories and get abducted, right? Like, it's never fucking anybody that can actually do anything about this kind of shit.
But what I'm saying is, that's the question is, I'm like, are people in power compromised by extraterrestrial beings being able to be basically, you know, just stepped in and controlling them? Like, mm-hmm. how long is there a time limit to that they are able to do this? Could they possess someone for months?
There's obviously some aliens on the Epstein list, and they're controlling Trump.
They're controlling
to
the whole thing
to fucking bury it.
Yeah.
That's
even aliens are exposed. Like, this can't get out. Holy shit. He fucking got me good.
Dude, I mean, that's actually kind of a cool theory in a way. If you're kind of like a predatory alien species, but you don't have like an actual physical army to get to a planet and take it over, but you have the technology to, like, maybe you can send like a ship here or two, set up like a small base with like your super advanced networks, and you could take control mentally of leaders on the planet. And then
you're
just kind of
literally talking about Treehouse of Terror episode one.
There you go.
The Simpsons called it.
Simpsons doesn't lie. We know that. But you just get here and you can control the world leaders of whatever country, or you're trying to push whatever agenda to try and make it easier to take over. You go from the inside out. You don't should get here and drop bombs. Take over the planet, take over the resources, and then when the invasion army comes, you deactivate all the defense and then you just kind of walk on in.
So is that why we are not using any of our natural resources here in Canada?
Probably.
And they're saving it for them.
And they're on their way. They're on their way in November. They arrive.
It makes sense. They're coming for the fossil fuels. Everyone's been talking shit about fossil fuels, but in reality, in a global or a universal outlook, it's the rarest form of energy. And the aliens are coming for it. Be fucking funny, though. We're just using it wrong. Like, you guys are using this fossil fuel shit all wrong.
They're burning it?
What the fuck are you talking about? Who knows?
Interesting case file, though. Let us know your thoughts.
Hell yeah. Instagram. Where else? Do we have TikTok going again?
Yep. Well, I mean, it's still going.
It's just going. It's there.
We're one strike away from it. Yeah.
From
not going anywhere.
Completely being deleted.
We need to get it back up. Can you get a hold of Toilet Seat Head again? Get them to pump our numbers.
We got two flags on the same video because one of the taglines that one of the AI fucking thing was saying was hashtag blow this up, and TikTok counts that as terrorism.
Yeah, and we're terrorists. That's
profiling. I tried to review it, and then I was like,
instantly denied.
I was like, this isn't terrorism, and it's like instantly denied. You're on your last strike. Where I was like, you strike the same video twice. So it's like, what's to stop them from striking it a third time now?
Fuck, TikTok sucks anyway. Gives a fuck. Yeah. Anyways, this week we got a couple of beauties supporting the show. They went to alientheorist.com. They hit that support tab. A couple of these people actually, though, made a mistake and they signed up on Apple.
Oh, you can see that they did?
I can see that it's at appleid.com.
Oh, fucking idiots. So fucking idiots.
If you're one of these people that sign up on Apple, I mean,
call them out. I want their names right now.
Well, I mean, we're getting the same, but you're paying more, so you're making a mistake.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
Never mind. We charge you.
It auto-charges the extra 30%.
To them.
Fuckers, man. I can't believe Apple does that.
Oh, fucks, dude.
As if they don't have enough money.
100%. But this week we got Austin Ewing. Let's Jacob go, Pileman, Yara. Well, actually, Austin Ewing, Jacob Pileman, you got to switch your membership. You're the Apple ID guys. Yara,
we switch them, dudes.
Evan, Samantha Ann Robinson.
Let's go.
Markley 15. Thank you very much for supporting the show. Yeah. We fucking appreciate it.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
I will see you in After Hours.
Sports Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.